You're listening to another.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It is July the 10th, Friday, 2015. The time is moving, the calendar is moving, and the world is probably going more than just a little bit crazy. I thank you so much for joining me at the end of the week. Always great to get together with all of you, play that inevitable game of catch-up, and indeed there is ever so much to catch up on. Those of you who are familiar with me, familiar with the program, know that I'm a retired senior special agent with what had been the Immigration and Naturalization Service, an agency that actually no longer even exists any longer in the wake of the terror attacks of 9/11. Our government created something called the Department of Homeland Security. I think that they have misnamed it. The way we are going, we should be calling it the Department of Homeland Surrender. The lunacy that we are witnessing on all levels of government defies belief, defies comprehension. We are putting American lives at risk each and every day. We just witnessed a horrific killing in San Francisco that was avoidable, and it's not about exploiting the murder of this young woman. It grieves me to think about it. The idea that somebody was killed by an individual who had no right to be here, an individual who had been in law enforcement custody repeatedly and was still allowed to run free. My rage is someplace in the stratosphere. But what you may not know, because the news doesn't report on it, is that what happened to Catherine Steinle is happening each and every day, multiple times across America. Before we get any further, I want to remind you about a couple of websites I really want you to go visit. First, my own personal website, michaelcutler.net, C-U-T-L-E-R, one word, michaelcutler.net. I have been, as you well know, if again you've been listening to this program, writing for a terrific organization out in California, Californians for Population Stabilization, capsweb.org is their website. I've been working with them for many years, and what we have seen in California is happening across America. Of course, while so many people think of California as the quintessential border state, and indeed it does share a significant portion of its southern extreme with the U.S.-Mexican border, we are, as I like to remind people, a nation of 50 border states. But capsweb.org, great article. They've been hammering away. So many great writers from so many perspectives and areas of expertise about the environment, the economics. They were the ones leading the charge going after employers like Disney, who betrayed Americans and is not worthy of anybody's business as far as I'm concerned. We should do to these companies what they're doing to Americans, shutting us out. We need to shut them out of our lives as much as we can. CapsWeb doing a great job. I'm happy to write for them. I also have become a columnist for another terrific organization, the folks over at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, their wonderful publication, Front Page Magazine. I have, in fact, a couple of articles up on that website right now that are new. I have been writing for Progressives for Immigration Reform. They're on the left. This isn't a left-right issue, ladies and gentlemen. This is a right-wrong issue. I have a major article coming out within the next few weeks just to give you something to look forward to in terms of getting some research and getting the truth that the mainstream media has been struggling so hard to keep from us. The politicians have been struggling so hard, which is why I think they're so upset with Donald Trump and his bluntness. And yes, he's certainly not a scalpel. He's a blunt instrument. But you look at those politicians and how they are scrambling and panicking and shaking in their boots because he dared to come out and said things that so many people feel and won't back down, won't back down. And that's something remarkable because in this day of gutless wonders, people who want to be leaders but act like wimps, to see what a guy that has real chutzpah does when he's attacked was refreshing. I'm not saying I agree with everything he said. There are issues that I would certainly like to discuss with Donald Trump. But the fact that this guy has a strong sense of self, that he's not chasing polls, he's not chasing campaign contributions. He made the statement that he stands there and says, yes, I said it, and what in the world are you going to do about it? Wow. That is what a leader is, and I've said it for the longest time, that what America most of all is thirsty, hungry for, is a real leader, a person who doesn't look at the polls and try to figure out how to bounce back and forth and be in five places at one time. It's refreshing. So we will get to what he had to say and my take on it. It's almost as though what happened after 9/11 is happening now, where immigration and the media is concerned, except the mainstream media haven't had me on the television programs, but I've been doing a number of appearances at Newsmax TV. Yesterday with Ed Berliner, today I'm going to be on with J.D. Hayworth. J.D., of course, former member of Congress. I did a hearing before the Immigration Reform Caucus, just about 6 weeks after the attacks of 9/11, J.D. at the time, in his capacity as congressman from Arizona, was a participant in that hearing. On Monday, I'm supposed to be on the Daily Ledger. We'll be taping a segment on Monday for the Daily Ledger, again, the same issue. The invitations to appear on radio programs has been off the scale. And this isn't about telling you, boy, isn't it great that I'm busy. I wish I wasn't busy. I wish that this young woman was still alive. But sometimes there's that straw that breaks the camel's back, and maybe we've reached a tipping point. Maybe finally we're waking up. But it angers me that it took this to get some people talking, and it took Donald Trump to get America talking. Because we have lacked leadership from both parties. I call them the repugnant cans and the Democrats, and both parties, to me, are no better than corrupt criminal organizations. Criminal organizations. They will do anything for campaign contributions. You know, I like to tell people that if a police officer pulled you over for speeding and you offered that officer a $50 bill, the odds were very good that you will wind up in handcuffs, and rightfully so. But if you could get to the mayor of that town and write a big enough check, by God, they'll raise the speed limit. And if that isn't corruption, I don't know what corruption is. So they are corrupt criminal enterprises, both political parties. And if they weren't political parties wielding political clout, people would be charged under the RICO, the racketeering statutes. I make no bones about it, and I dare any one of their alleged candy-ass leaders to tell me I'm calling it wrong. You can't find a leader in the bunch with both hands and a flashlight. So to see a guy stand up and finally call it the way he sees it, whether you agree with him or not, is not the issue. Have you seen anybody show that kind of chutzpah in how long, to stand there and say, this is my position and I'm not budging? Wow. It takes your breath away. It takes your breath away. You watch most of the people that have been running for office. Let me get with my people. They have a teleprompter. They got 15 people standing behind them, scribbling notes and handing them pieces of paper, what to say, what not to say. Trump goes in there and says what he wants to say. No teleprompter, no notes, nobody standing next to him whispering in his ear. It's astonishing, and I got to tell you, it's refreshing. I saw that image of Hillary Clinton, and I think Fox was enough, but they were making jokes about the rope line and the way that they were corralling the reporters. They went out and did that on the Avenue of the Americas here in New York City, right outside the Fox News studios. It looks ridiculous. It was ridiculous when Hillary did it. But this is a democracy. And democracies demand transparency. And this president, who claimed he was going to be transparent, is as transparent as lead bricks. And Hillary is no damn better, and she doesn't know how to stop lying. And I'm calling her out for being a liar. And we'll get to Hillary's lies. And wait till you hear my take on the kind of liar that she is. And I'm tired of pussyfooting around. When you lie, I'm going to call you a liar. I'm not going to say you got it wrong. I'm not going to say it wasn't nice. Bald-faced lies to exploit issues to mislead the American people. This is not what leadership is about. If you want to have a debate with the American people and you want to have that discussion, then put the facts on the table and let's make educated decisions. Let's stop the deceptive language that only con artists would use. I am tired of politicians conning the American people because the consequences could not be more severe. We have compromised our national security. We have Americans dying each and every day. We are decimating the middle class. And politicians from both of those corrupt political parties are out there lying through their teeth. And I'm sick of the lies and I'm sick of the damage being done to our country, the United States of America. And I don't think I have a problem telling you what I think either. Finally, just before I forget, and I want to make sure I get this in, because I don't work with a teleprompter or even too many notes when I'm on the air. I just want to have a conversation with you the way I would if you were sitting with me in my living room. That's what this program is about. I've written a major article for The Social Contract. And what I did, and I've been after them for quite some time, to do a piece, a retrospective, if you will, looking back at the 9/11 attacks, looking back at the immigration component of those attacks. And they said to me, finally, the editor, Wayne, called me up. We had this conversation several months ago, and he said, I'll make you a deal, Mike. If you can give us a major story, a major report, a major article, whatever you want to call it, commentary, we'll make it the lead story. You know, I provided testimony to the 9/11 Commission. I've arrested terrorists in my career. And you know, in the media, when they talk about terrorism, you'll never see an immigration agent up there. Never. Never, ever. They'd sooner have a political pundit come up and talk about terrorism than an immigration agent. But please understand that the primary purpose for our immigration laws and our borders are to keep those foreign nationals, aliens, if you will, out of our country, whose presence would be harmful to us, and that most certainly includes terrorists. In fact, if you look at the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, there are immigration agents on board for good reason, because almost invariably, international terrorists violate our immigration laws. But that's not what the politicians want you to hear, and that's not what the mainstream media wants you to hear, because there is an agenda. And the agenda is being fueled with the cash of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I call them the Chamber of Horrors. It's being fueled by AILA, the American Immigration Lawyers Association. It's being fueled by universities. It's being fueled by banks, by Wall Street, by special interest groups, because they want three things, or four things. They want members. Now, when I say members, we're talking about religious organizations, we're talking about unions, we're talking about special interest groups. They want an unlimited flow of tourists to come to America so they can get money out of their pockets. They want more foreign students to come to America so the universities can soak up the revenue. And they want cheap labor. And what the banks and Wall Street want is to move the money. And they, frankly, don't give a damn if that money is the money earned by a surgeon saving a baby's life who comes to the United States because he or she has a particular talent, or if it's a prostitute working in a brothel, or a drug dealer who just consummated a drug deal, or some worker being exploited in a hellhole of a factory here in the United States. They don't care. All money is green. And they look at money the way that Allied Van Lines looks at your furniture. If you call up Allied Van Lines and say to them, I'm moving from New York to Wisconsin, they want to know how many miles, are there any elevators involved, how many pieces of furniture, and they don't care if it's French Provincial, Scandinavian, or Colonial. They just want to know how many pieces of furniture and how far so they can charge you. What the banks want to know is how much money, how far are you moving it, and where are you moving it so they can charge you their fees, because the banks are the silent partner for every transaction that involves the movement of money. And they don't care whether that money involves anything. They just don't care. And there have been article after articles written about the bankers, and the articles all talk about too big to jail. I think it was Bob Hope who had remarked that banks are nobody's friends. They'll only lend you money after you could prove you didn't need it in the first place. And boy, isn't that the truth. They'll lend you money only after you've been able to prove you didn't need it in the first place. And for those of you who have a mortgage on a house, next time you have to mow your lawn, call up the bank, ask them to mow their half or whatever percentage it is they own. When you have to put a roof on the house, have them take care of their share. when you have to paint the living room, let them paint their share of the living room or carpet their share of the floors. Lots of luck. Lots of luck. I'm saying that half tongue-in-cheek, but I really have an issue with all these organizations because they don't care that their profits come at a human cost. It does not matter. To these people, American lives are nothing more than collateral damage. Our military, in my judgment, frankly, has more concern about collateral damage when we unleash ordnance on our enemies. We have more concern about collateral damage, civilian casualties, than our government has about American citizens inside this country. It's a harsh statement, it's a strong statement, but I think it conjures up a very clear image. And believe me, I'm not getting it wrong. I am not getting it wrong. So I've written this major article that the Social Contract will be publishing within the next 2 to 3 weeks. It's a retrospective, and believe it or not, it runs 23 pages. I think you will find it to be an eye-opener. And I want you to visit all these websites, whether it's capsweb.org or Front Page Magazine, or in fact today, the Daily Caller just published a major article that I did about this horrible killing. I gave it the title, Sanctuary Cities, No Peace and No Justice. All these publications giving me this opportunity to provide my perspectives are being done for one purpose, folks. I want you to get the information that you're not going to hear in the mainstream media so that you can become informed and make the appropriate demands on these jackasses who play pretend at representing us. The best antidote we have to their betrayal is to get them to understand that we're not as stupid as they hope that we are. And that's what this program is about. That's what my mission has been about ever since those ashes from the conflagration of Ground Zero, containing in part the remains of my neighbors, landed on my home and my family here in Brooklyn. I'm fired up today. I'm furious today. I had lost my first wife to cancer at age 33. She was a year older than Kate Steinle. And you don't get over the loss of a loved one. It's not the flu, it's an amputation. And it's bad enough when we lose loved ones. They're taken from us forever because of something that's unavoidable. But when somebody is cut down by somebody who had no right to breathe American air, who had no right to be standing on American soil, who was well known to our officials, well known, super duper, absolutely well known to the sheriffs, to San Francisco, to California, to the Department of Homeland Surrender. Everybody knew about this guy, and he was free as a bird floating around out there. How do you even begin to reconcile that with what happened? And please, please, please understand this is not isolated. This is the norm in America today. We have sanctuary cities clear across the country. We have sanctuary states. And I want you to think about what the word sanctuary means. Think of the image a sanctuary conjures up, a bird sanctuary, where the birds can fly free and there's no predators and there's no cats out there looking to make lunch out of them. It's a place of safety and peace and security and serenity. Aren't those all the words that come to mind when you think of a sanctuary? Peaceful, calm, secure, protected. Think of all those words. Think of all those words. Sanctuary cities. It sounds like heaven on earth, doesn't it? Sanctuary cities. And to whom did we give sanctuary? To damn criminals who are the predators. Sanctuaries normally protect the vulnerable from the predators. Here, as everything else that those crooked politicians have done, is to turn everything upside down, inside out. Is right, right is left, up is down, down is up. We're providing sanctuary for law violators. And we're being told that somehow, if you believe that we should be careful that we don't let criminals and terrorists into the United States, you are evil and a bigot and a xenophobe and a misanthrope and take all the words in the dictionary and let's roll them out on the table. Let's play Scrabble with all these words. On an individual level, folks, on an individual level, our front doors have peepholes. We have door knockers and doorbells, and no matter where you go in the world, people understand the humor behind knock-knock jokes because it's common sense. A stranger doesn't just barge into your house. You want to come into someone's house? They knock on the door, they ring the bell, you go to the door, you say, who's there? And they say, Charlie Brown, whoever. And therein lies the old knock-knock jokes, you know? Because it's understood you don't go into someone's house. You don't cut across somebody's property. That's called trespass. It's called trespass. You need permission to enter onto someone's property, someone's land. And now we get to the liar, Hillary Clinton. And I feel so strongly about it because I thought my head was going to explode. I'm a registered Democrat, by the way, so I don't want anyone saying, oh, Cutler's part of Hillary's supposed right-wing conspiracy, the people that are attacking her. I'm a registered Democrat. I have been a registered Democrat since I cast my first ballot. Wow, I'm trying to think back how many years ago, almost five decades ago. I am a lifelong registered Democrat. She is not. There are few Democrats in the Democratic Party, and there's even just as few Republicans in the Republican Party, if we're going to be fair about this. Hillary made a statement a day or two ago that lit my fuse. Now, I understand the Republicans complaining about the Democrats complaining about the Republicans. I get that. You know, this is a team sport. You know, the Yankees and the Boston, the Boston Sox, boy, they go at each other because they're two competing teams, they're rivals. I get it. That's fine. That's cool. I believe in at least a two-party system. The reason I don't like three parties is because very often the third party becomes the spoiler in the election. Maybe there's something to the parliamentary system, you know? But the point is, I understand that the two parties are, you know, they clash with each other. Although mostly these days the clashes are all a charade. When I was a kid, I used to watch wrestling on TV and thought it was for real. And, of course, it was all a very well-choreographed ballet, the supposed battles that they had in the ring and the make-believe blood and all that other nonsense. And half the time, I think that's really what we witness in Washington. But Hillary accused the Republicans of being so evil that they did not want immigrants to acquire citizenship. Now, those words really set me off. But this goes back to the name game that has been played since Jimmy Carter mandated that immigration agents no longer refer to illegal aliens as illegal aliens, but call them undocumented workers and then undocumented immigrants. We're talking about illegal aliens. These aren't immigrants. When people think of immigrant, they should be thinking of a lawful immigrant, somebody who is admitted into the United States, given a green card, which signifies that this person is already placed on the pathway to citizenship. And that's what we're talking about. Every year, the United States admits roughly 1 million lawful immigrants, people who, if they meet the requirements, the amount of time in the United States, physical presence as it's known, and if they meet good moral character standards, and if they could pass certain tests, they become eligible for citizenship. If they're married to an American citizen 3 years after getting their so-called green card, again, we have to get rid of the word alien. It's actually the Alien Registration Receipt Card because it goes back to the Alien Registration Act of 1940. Once they get that card, you know, it's given to them to signify their status so they can work in the United States and travel and so forth. 1 million foreign nationals, 1 million aliens granted that status every year. Every year. More than the rest of the world combined. And so Hillary comes along and says, well, they don't want immigrants to get citizenship. Does this mean that there are people out there that are saying, well, we don't care if you have a green card, you have no right to become a citizen? Because that's what she is saying. That is how big and fat that lie is, and it's just hanging there, smelling badly, that lie. No. What she is talking about, to go back to Jimmy Carter, is that if you run the border and people say you should not get citizenship, that is the person she's addressing. And I raise both hands, not one hand. I do not believe that somebody who trespasses on America and evades the inspections process that is designed to keep terrorists and criminals and people with dangerous communicable diseases and people who would compete unfairly with Americans for jobs. Those are the people that we're supposed to keep out. It has nothing to do with race, nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with ethnicity. It is simply about protecting America and Americans. And when people evade that process, they sneak in, it is the equivalent of someone coming through your back window in the middle of the night. And if someone came through your back window in the middle of the night and you handed that person a key to your front door, I suggest you get psychiatric treatment post-haste. Because that exactly is what Hillary was saying. That people don't want the immigrants to get citizenship. We're not talking about citizens, resident aliens, folks. We are talking about illegal aliens who snuck in. And how dare those evil, mean-spirited people not want to give them citizenship? Breath away. How in the world does anybody think that this is a reasonable position that she espouses publicly? But I guarantee you, because people get confused about terminology, especially this misuse of the word immigrant started by Jimmy Carter, that everyone thinks, oh my God, these people come here and they don't want to give them citizenship? Because that's the image it conjures up. It is part of this divide and conquer strategy that we are seeing from our politicians. Just like these pollsters, oh, the Latino vote. The Latino vote? These are the same people that if they hear about law enforcement profiling would probably have a cow. So what they say when they say the Latino vote, really, is that anybody whose last name is Garcia or Rodriguez wants the same exact thing? Because they're all alike. Isn't that what prejudice and bigotry is about? You know, the Latino vote, the Jewish vote. Boy, all those Jews, they're all the same, you know. One Jew is no different from the other Jew. How angry do you think that makes me? Same thing with blacks, the black vote. Really? I mean, do you think every black thinks the same way, has the same aspirations? What is the black vote? It's a way of manipulating. It's a way of dividing. It's a way of setting American against American. Hillary is now doing it with this artful, deceptive language, bald-faced lie. It's despicable. But before we declare the Republicans to be the good guys, they're not. They're not. They want to give illegal aliens lawful status, but not citizenship. Now, do you know why they don't want to give illegal aliens citizenship? Do you think they're being high-minded and decent and moral? No. They know that the illegal aliens that become citizens, or if they became citizens, would vote for the Democrats, because the newly arrived tend to vote for the Democratic Party, which is what motivates Hillary. Believe me, there's no altruism in that woman's heart. Believe me, there is no altruism in her heart. So the Republicans are looking at it and say, oh, we have to appeal to the Latino vote. Really? All the illegal aliens are Latino? It's estimated that nearly 40% or approximately 40% of the illegal aliens in the United States are not aliens who ran the border, but came through ports of entry. They landed at airports, were given a certain amount of time to stay in the United States. They never left. They took a job they weren't supposed to take. Or they were admitted to take a job and they disappeared. Or they were admitted to go to school and they never attended school. There's lots of ways an alien can become deportable, or as they say under the changed language, removable, illegal. So while, yes, there are millions of illegal aliens who happen to be Latino, and Mexico sends us more illegal aliens than anybody, there are millions and millions of illegal aliens in America who don't speak Spanish and didn't come from Latin America. But we hear this business, oh, she's trying to appeal to the Latino voter. She's trying to simply get people into the country and get them lawful status and get them to vote. And there have been investigations of aliens voting, whether they had green cards, still illegal. Although in New York, they now want to allow resident aliens to vote. You have municipalities allowing people with green cards to become police officers, which blow my mind. Going on is crazy beyond crazy. But the Republicans are looking at it and saying, well, we want these people to work. Now, why do the Republicans want these people to work? Do you think they care that these poor people are struggling? Well, they say that in front of the cameras. But see, I'll let you in on the secret. If you can bring in millions of workers, and we are, labor is a commodity. And if you could really load this country up with cheap labor, because the more you have, the less the commodity is worth. This is classic economics, supply and demand. You load the market. If you did it with diamonds or petroleum, you would call it dumping. Dumping, by the way, is illegal because it's done to manipulate the prices. The De Beers Company, that women are quite familiar with, they are, as far as I remember, the biggest diamond-producing company. They're headquartered in Brussels, I believe, or perhaps Antwerp. I know they're in Belgium. We visited them when I was on my honeymoon with my first wife. May she rest in peace. The De Beers Company controls how many gemstone diamonds we put on the market any given year. And why do we do that? Well, why do they do that? Because they know if they dumped all the diamonds at one time, the price would fall through the floorboards. And when you're there in the factory touring the plant and you see how they manufacture the diamonds, it's a fascinating tour to take. They will never talk about how many diamonds are being released any year because they want to control it so they control the price. Where labor is concerned, what the Republicans are trying to do is to flood the market with as many workers so the opposite happens. The price falls through the floorboards. You know, all this talk about compassion. 15 years ago, the people who worked in meatpacking plants, it's dangerous work, the slaughterhouses, it's filthy, it's dangerous, they're dealing with sharp knives, they're dealing with all kinds of stuff. Tough, tough job. Back then, 15 years ago, they were being paid $18 an hour. Today, the same job, $8 or $9 an hour. And I'm not adjusting it now for inflation. These are raw numbers. So when you take inflation into account, it's even worse. 15 years ago, $18 an hour, especially in rural communities, you could support a family on it. Try doing that now on $9 an hour. So what we're really witnessing is the collapse of our economic system so that the very wealthy could become very wealthier. This is not sustainable. You know, on the left side, the liberals talk about sustainability. This isn't sustainable. And on the conservative side, you know, the conservatives love to make the point. They quote Margaret Thatcher, who said the problem with socialists is they eventually run out of other people's money to give away. Sounds cute. Well, eventually we're going to run out of jobs to give away. Because right now, and you may not know this, and it's certainly not presented that way by anybody, we admit more lawfully entitled foreign workers, people who come here and legally are allowed to work. We admit more such workers every single month than the number of new jobs that we are creating. And if employers hire, for example, students who have been given optional practical training, they don't have to put money into Medicare, Social Security, those programs, and that's why part of why these programs are going broke. Because these companies aren't stupid. If they can save thousands of dollars per employee, presuming they pay equal salaries, and I assure you they don't, but if they did, they still save money because these folks aren't covered by Obamacare, and they don't have to take money out and put it into Medicare or Social Security. So they want this massive influx. And so cities bowing to the financial pressures, that's what this is about, folks, always follow the money, have created sanctuaries, places of peace and harmony and safety. Right. And if you believe that story, that these are places of safety, let's have a meeting with the Tooth Fairy after this program is over. These cities are becoming magnets for criminals and drug dealers. This guy Sanchez, who cranked off those rounds. Oops, the gun went off. Passive voice. Don't you love that? It's the child that takes a toy and throws it against the wall and the toy breaks and the parents come in and say, "Honey, what happened to your toy?" "It broke." No, it didn't break by itself. It didn't jump off the shelf. It didn't commit suicide. You threw the darn thing against the wall 6 times, so now it's broken, right? Oops, the toy broke. Well, you understand that when you're dealing with a 4-year-old child. So here is a hardened criminal who's been arrested again and again and arrested again and arrested still more, 7 times, 7 convictions. If he was caught 7 times, how many more times did he commit the crimes, right? The gun went off. Passive voice. Remarkable. Why did you go to San Francisco, Mr. Sanchez? According to the accounts on CNN and elsewhere, he went to San Francisco specifically because he knew that in San Francisco, he had nothing to worry about because they would protect him. He's a protected species. They don't want him to go extinct, I guess. So they gave him a place of safety, security, and serenity. Would that they had done the same for Catherine Steinle. Would that they had done the same for Catherine's family. Do you think they're ever going to be the same? Do you think her friends will ever be the same? The world is diminished when decent people die. But the sheriff doesn't care. And I have a very cynical attitude about ICE. You see, San Francisco is a sanctuary city and has been for quite some time. They're in the Twilight Zone. Do you think this is the first time that they ignored a detainer lodged by ICE? I can't imagine. I will tell you what I suspect, and what I suspect that this happened before, and I believe that immigration that has absolutely no intention of deporting anybody if they can get away with it, because that's what the administration has been doing. They have released tens of thousands of criminal aliens onto the streets, and there was a report done by the GAO and by the Inspector General, the Internal Affairs Division of the Department of Homeland Surrender, that said that the administration is unaccountable. They don't know how many people they released. They don't know what their names are. They have no idea how many times agents encountered illegal aliens and took no action. This is an open door to corruption. You're telling law enforcement people, no matter what you do, don't arrest anybody and don't keep records. I mean, there's no accountability. This is the Wild West. Meanwhile, we've never had a greater threat of terrorism in the United States. And we have millions of foreign nationals from every country on the planet, including countries that sponsor terrorism, floating around the United States. And just think what 19 terrorists did to us on 9/11. Just 19. And we have millions of people here, tens of thousands of people who've been given asylum without proper screening. It's remarkable. So in my own twisted way of seeing the universe, maybe it's just me, why in the world did ICE turn this guy over to San Francisco? When I was an agent, if I was worried that we would lose track of an alien who was wanted on charges by the city or the state, I would have a conversation with the local prosecutor. And if they said, well, the person is looking at 90 days in jail, the person is looking at 120 days in jail, we're not really sure if we're going to proceed with the case. Do you know what I would do? I would work it out with the prosecutor on the state level or the city level, and I would show up in court with my partner prepared to take custody of the individual that we were going to perhaps prosecute for unlawful reentry. And what they did was they gave this guy, under New York State law, something known as an ACD, an adjournment contemplating dismissal. You know, you behave yourself for 6 months, we'll drop the charge. Who cares? What are we dropping? A few months in jail when the guy's got a rap sheet that you could paper your house with? So I put the handcuffs on the guy and drag him out of the courtroom. Problem solved. Now we don't lose track of him. This could have been done here. The other question I have is, why was this guy Sanchez not previously prosecuted? They finally prosecuted him for reentry, and I believe he got 4 years to serve. Now that particular law is of special interest to me. Back in the early 80s, I had this idea about going to Senator D'Amato. Senator Alphonse D'Amato was my senator, because we were not getting cases approved for prosecution. See, when there's a law, and here's the inclination from members of Congress and some talk show people, you know, we're going to go out there and create a new law. And then they put the person's name on the law, you know, and what a great tribute. The person didn't die in vain because now we have a law with their name on it. Man's laws mean nothing unless the resources and the commitment is there to enforce the law. The laws of nature are immutable. The speed of light is not determined by somebody with a badge, a radar gun, and a summons book. Man's speed laws, on the other hand, are very much determined by whether or not the law is enforced. In the weeks after 9/11, most of the New York City Police Department, other than those doing local patrol in the communities, the most of the highway patrol cops who patrol the Belt Parkway and all the highways around the New York area, for those of you not familiar with New York, most of those police officers were detailed to Lower Manhattan to expedite the movement of the trucks that were removing the debris from what became Ground Zero. The Belt Parkway became a speedway. Everybody was going 90 miles an hour. Why did they go 90 miles an hour? Because they knew there were no police units there with no radar guns. So even though the sign said 50 was the speed limit, everybody ignored it because they knew that there would be no adverse consequence to speeding. It got so bad that for the first time, and I've been around a long time, I've never seen this before, New York State troopers set up radar traps on the Belt Parkway. They were invited in by the mayor of New York because there were accidents on the highway, because nobody was paying attention to the speed signs, because there were no adverse consequences. And as soon as we saw those state police cars sitting on the side of the road with their radar units turned on, you know what? Everybody went back to driving normally again. The races were over because suddenly there were penalties, there were repercussions. And the politicians understand that. Chuck Schumer's no dummy. I know from people who went to school with him. He aced the college boards. He's not a fool. He's just amoral. So Chuck Schumer jumps up and down and says, you know why people trespass on the Brooklyn Bridge and the World Trade Center and other landmarks? Because they're not going to get much jail time. They're not going to get much jail time. You want to stop trespassing? He says, we need to make this a federal offense with a 5-year penalty. Then people will stop trespassing. You know, Chuck might be onto something. But guess what? When you trespass on America, Chuck believes we should give you citizenship, just like Hillary. So the narrative is the Republicans don't want to give citizenship to the immigrants. It is such a lie, but it feeds this notion that we're not being fair to the immigrants. Meanwhile, although Ms. Steinle was an American, generally when transnational criminals enter the United States, it's their immigrant communities that suffer the most damage. That's where the houses of prostitution spring up. That's where the extortion starts. That's where the crime begins. And this isn't just within the Latino community. It's the Russian community, the Asian community, the Caribbean community, the African, the European, the Middle Eastern. How do I know? Because I arrested all those thugs and bums from all over the place. All the human detritus that would go out there and peddle drugs to children and commit rapes and sodomies of kids. I arrested them all. I arrested them all, as did all the agents I worked with. And now we're told immigration is not significant, that we're not being compassionate. I don't want to give away too much of what I wrote about for that article coming up in a couple of weeks for The Social Contract. But you look at the language in the 9/11 Commission report that I included in what I wrote. And, you know, I gave testimony to the 9/11 Commission. I've testified before a whole bunch of congressional committees in both the House and Senate about national security and immigration. And so when you have sheriffs, local, you know, law enforcement people saying, oh, well, we'll decide whether we want to enforce that federal law. You see, it's in the routine enforcement of law that we catch the bad guys. It's in that routine enforcement of the law that we catch the bad guys. The guy that's out there hiding in plain sight by doing a low-key job getting by. I mean, what do you think terrorists do the day before they're involved in an attack? They go to their job, and it's usually a job that provides them with mobility and with camouflage. They drive cabs, airport limos. You don't know if the guy in the car is simply a passenger or he's having a clandestine meeting with the guy. They're out among us. If you had passed Muhammad Atta in the street, one of the 9/11 terrorists, he was one of the ringleaders. And in fact, I testified at a hearing 6 months to the day after 9/11. To everybody's horror, it was discovered that both Muhammad Atta and another one of these thugs had been granted authorization to attend flight school, of all things, 6 months after the attacks. Now, there's something that blows my mind. Ms. Steinle was an attractive young woman that captured everybody's attention. It's all in the timing. Just a week earlier, Donald Trump went out there and started hammering away at illegal aliens in Mexico and all this other business. And lo and behold, here we go. This was the kind of guy that Donald was talking about. This guy Sanchez, Francisco Sanchez, illegal Mexican, kills this woman, allegedly. So everybody jumps up and down and says, oh, my God. Why is it that when the Times Square bomber, for example, Faisal Shahzad, tried to set off an SUV in Times Square, around 2010. This was about 5 years ago. Nobody talked about immigration. In fact, Ray Kelly, who at the time was the New York City Police Commissioner, called this guy a classic example of a homegrown terrorist. See, we're being lied to by everybody. And just because somebody with a badge tells you something, he's not necessarily a police officer. Now, I'm not going to say Ray Kelly was impersonating a police officer. He was the commissioner of the New York City Police Department. But folks, understand something. Let's not be naive. Commissioners of police departments are politicians more than their law enforcement officers all too often. And he knew which way the wind was blowing, didn't he? The wind was blowing from the mayor's office, and the mayor can fire him just as easily as he hired him. And who was the mayor? Mike Bloomberg, the guy who was fixated on too much salt and too much sugar in the diet but didn't dare say a word about too much heroin or cocaine that was out there. And that, by the way, is the best way to determine border security, how much heroin, how much cocaine is available and how cheap it is. And in point of fact, we're now in the worst heroin epidemic ever, so you know that there is no border for all intents and purposes. And I don't care what anybody reports on. But the police commissioner, who had been the commissioner for U.S. Customs before that, by the way, this isn't a country bumpkin, and I would argue the NYPD is one of the most sophisticated police departments, not just in the United States, but around the world. They've sent detectives all over the world, the NYPD did, from their intelligence division, to try to develop intel about terror attacks out of a concern that the FBI might not share with the New York City Police Department as much information as they wanted. So they said, okay, you want it done right, do it yourself. They sent their officers overseas. They're still doing it, which is probably a very smart thing to do. Okay? Ray Kelly described Faisal Shahzad as a classic example of a homegrown terrorist. What does homegrown mean? Homegrown means that the guy was born in the United States, apparently. Well, Faisal Shahzad, the Times Square bomber, believe it or not, came to the United States when he was 20 years old and had a student visa. I want somebody, please tell me, how on God's green earth can a foreign national, an alien from Pakistan, who first comes to the United States, first time, at age 20, how does that guy qualify as homegrown? You see, this is the way the lies about immigration keep getting told. We are being lied to by everybody because of the money that's involved. The city of New York is not only a sanctuary city, but do you know that the city of New York is now providing official identity documents, municipal ID to illegal aliens? Do you think they have any idea who these people are? Absolutely not. So if you don't know who these people are and you're giving them official ID, you're giving them camouflage. You're giving them camouflage. And that's what's so damning about all this, that we are providing bad guys with camouflage, and somehow we're supposed to say, how wonderful. Now, what's so remarkable is if you go to the ICE website, and I visit it routinely, I call it dumpster diving when I read the nonsense that they put out there. But I like to see what they're doing, and they always talk about all these criminal aliens who've been arrested in the United States. And what nobody ever thinks about is, well, wait a minute, this guy was arrested in the United States and he's committed crimes in the United States? How did they get away being here? And what about the victims of their crimes? And they never tell you in the news release, or almost never, how the guy got into the United States. He somehow got here. Was he beamed here by the Starship Enterprise? Was he in the transporter room? So you've got the city of New York providing official identity documents to hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens. Now, here's something to consider. On June 22nd, this is just a couple of weeks ago, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, in one of its press releases, was bragging about how they had worked with departments of motor vehicles to try to convince them to tighten up on their process for issuing licenses, and they talked about the need to go after their corrupt employees at motor vehicles. I mean, really? DHS has to tell a state agency, you know, if you have people that are crooks working for you, you should try to get rid of them. Really? Wow. Remarkable, isn't it? What a revelation. But here is the admonition, and this is just done so that they can create this image that they're tough. So here's what the poster says. When you look at the poster, and if you go to my website, michaelcutler.net, you'll see this. This article appears on Front Page Magazine. And the title, by the way, that I gave the article goes back to what's on the poster. What I said was, one chance is all a terrorist needs. Because those were the words on this poster that was issued by DHS. One chance is all a terrorist needs. And then the subtitle, how DHS is failing to heed its own warnings. So you look at this poster that they're so proud of, and you could see that they put so much effort into the poster, folks. It shows pictures of all of these 19 dirtbags, the terrorist hijackers. It shows in the back, kind of like in a ghosting image, state licenses, driver's licenses. And what's remarkable, most of these states are sanctuary states, Illinois, California, New York, Kansas is there. And then on top of that, it's like layers, 9/11, obviously a reference to the 9/11 attacks with all these photographs of the 19 terrorists. Now, here's what the wording is. I want you to think about this. It blew me away when I saw it. It says, do the right thing, stop document and identity fraud. 19 terrorists, 364 aliases, 26 state-issued identification documents, and then under that it says, one chance is all a terrorist needs. New York is issuing illegal aliens municipal identity documents. If one chance is all a terrorist needs, hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens got the documents that they're warning about here. So what happened to New York City for doing this? Nothing. Now, here's something interesting to consider. If you're a criminal, forget terrorists for the moment. If you're a criminal, what better place to be than New York, where not only are the police ordered, and this goes back to Ed Koch, and I happen to have liked Ed Koch as mayor, and then it was Dinkins, and then it was Giuliani, America's mayor, and then Mike Bloomberg, and of course, dumb Blasio now has absolutely blown the door off the hinge with this thing, giving identity documents to illegal aliens. And now you look at that poster, and you say to yourself, wait a minute. New York City is providing specifically illegal aliens with identity documents, but to make certain, apparently, they're not stupid. They've hired some shrewd lawyers so that you can't use that document as prima facie proof that the person holding it is an illegal alien. They made it attractive to all New Yorkers. So they've had commercials on TV, or the radio, rather, telling you, get yourself one of those IDs. They're nifty. Because you can use it instead of a library card, just take one card. It will get you into museums. It will get you into landmarks, places where normally you would have to pay. You get this municipal ID, and you can get in for free. Wow. Now, there's an incentive. You know, I might even get myself one of those fancy cards. God only knows. So now what's happened? Suddenly, it's not only illegal aliens who would find value in such a document, because that's what they had to do, was to create a reason, a justification for lawful immigrants and U.S. citizens to say, gee whiz, maybe I should get one of those cards. And they have. And they're willing to sacrifice revenue so that people can get into places where normally you would have to pay. You get one of these little suckers and you are good to go. Why? Because now law enforcement can't say, well, John Smith had one of those cards in his pockets. He must have been an illegal alien. No, maybe John Smith is using it to get into the museums. Maybe he's using it as a library card. It's so calculated. It is so strategized. And meanwhile, whose lives are being placed at risk? Lawful immigrants, American citizens. The crime rate goes up. I'd love to know how many people that commit crime in New York came here from someplace else, because this was the literal opportunity, or the offer that they could not pass up, the offer they couldn't refuse. Is this acting in the best interest not only of New York, but the United States? You see, when cities and states especially give out driver's licenses, and I do mean give out, once you get that license, you can go all wandering around the country. You've now attained a level of credibility that you would not have if you did not have official ID in your pocket. If you're going to do business with somebody and you say to the guy, hey, Joe, I want to hire you to do my contracting work, but I need to see some ID. Oh, yeah, here's my driver's license, my municipal ID, here's this, here's that, my credit card. Oh, you must be legit. You see, what you're doing is giving that person a level of credibility that he's not entitled to if he's an illegal alien. But that's exactly what's happening. And Hillary goes running around and says, oh, they don't want to give citizenship. And ICE says, look how tough we are. We're hanging posters up at motor vehicle offices around the country, reminding and warning them. But yet, when Arizona tried to pass their own immigration laws that basically paralleled the federal law, what happened? They got sued. When Lou Barletta, the mayor of Hazleton, Pennsylvania, enacted the first set of ordinances by a local town because George W. Bush's Justice Department and Immigration Service would not address the fact that a Dominican drug gang set up shop in this community, and he tried to enact local ordinances to fill the void created by the federal government, he got sued by the ACLU and a whole bunch of organizations. And where's the federal government in all this? Nowhere to be found. See, I really want to move to a different kind of a sanctuary state. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I want to live in a sanctuary state where you're given sanctuary from the IRS. Do you think that's likely to happen? Really? I'm being facetious. But understand the point. When we talk about immigration, common sense and reason goes out the window. I really believe, folks, that our military has far greater compassion and concern for collateral damage, civilians wounded or killed, when we use our ordinances, our weapons against our enemy, let's say in Syria. We're more concerned about the civilian population than our politicians are concerned about the civilian population of American citizens in their own country. This is going on day in and day out. In 1979, and I've spoken about this, 1989, a police officer by the name of Robert Machete was killed in a confrontation with a guy by the name of Rinaldo Rayside. I had physically put Rayside on an airplane in, I believe it was 1987. He was a Panamanian. He had a green card. He was on the path to citizenship that Hillary keeps yammering about. But because of drug convictions, he was stripped of his lawful status, ordered deported from the United States by an immigration judge, and I put him on an airplane. I signed his warrant of deportation. I rolled his print on that warrant of deportation, and I waved bye-bye. He came back and twice gets arrested by the New York City Police Department. Twice, according to the rap sheet, not only was he arrested, but he resisted arrest. Obviously, he was prone toward violence. Under Rudy's policies, America's mayor, the police were ordered not to call immigration. The guy's presence here was a felony. They were not allowed to notify us. The third time he gets into a thing with Robert Machete, the police officer, 24 years old, his wife is pregnant. Machete dies on a street corner in Brooklyn. He was part of the Brooklyn South Task Force. As an immigration agent, I did a lot of work with Brooklyn South, made a lot of arrests with them. I actually went on patrol with them some nights because we were dealing with drug dealers who were foreign nationals. Not a big stretch, by the way. When I was assigned to DEA intelligence back in the late 80s, early 90s, I found that in New York City, 60% of the people we were arresting in New York City for drug-related crimes up at DEA were foreign-born. Nationally, 30% of the drug traffickers were foreign-born. This has been going on forever. It's been going on forever. So Officer Machete dies. His wife gives birth to a baby that never knows his father. His parents were devastated. I spoke to his brother, who became a cop. Machete's younger brother, obviously younger brother, became the police officer. He looked up to his older brother. And he's now retired, and he's working on a second police job out of New York. But, you know, Machete's brother became a cop, but the family was never the same. And then 20 years after this happens, I'm in a supermarket. I wheel my wagon into a lane, and there's this young lady wearing a police badge, miniature badge. It turns out that it was Robert Machete's daughter. I mean, the odds were a gazillion to one, but there we are. And it so rattled my cage. It had me so upset. What could you possibly say if the police had called immigration and we had taken custody of this guy? This couldn't have happened. Now, this is 1990 that they hold the murder trial, and because there was a screw-up with some of the evidence, the guy beat the number one charge of murder one. He was eventually deported from the United States. Flash forward, 2003, 13 years later, a woman, mother of two little kids, gets abducted by five aliens in Queens. They drag her down to a railway siding. They're about to attack her. People ran to the police. The police show up, and they rescue her before they could kill her. Four of these guys were illegal aliens. They all had rap sheets. One guy had a green card with an extensive arrest record. He should have lost his green card. Immigration asleep at the switch. Didn't make that many headlines. A little bit. You had the bombing of the Boston Marathon by the Tsarnaev brothers. Now, these guys were given lawful status, citizenship in one case, political asylum, each of the family members. Obviously, fraud was committed here, obviously. And what happened? Nothing. And nobody wants to talk about the immigration component. I mean, Megyn Kelly had me on her program right after that to talk about the immigration failures. But after that, everything got quiet. Everybody wants the immigration issue to go away. It's the gravy train, folks. It's the gravy train. It's cheap labor. It's the movement of money. It's the destruction of the middle class. But nobody cares, because as long as the very wealthy and the very powerful get wealthier and more powerful, everybody's happy, until, God forbid, everything comes crashing down around our ears, and we're in the middle of that process right now. So God bless Donald Trump. He had the guts to go out there. And again, you don't have to agree with everything he said. But you really and truly have to respect anybody who's got the brass cojones to stand his ground. It is so refreshing to see a man act like a man. To say, listen, I told you what I believe, and if you don't like it, take a hike somewhere. Now, here's something that's interesting that you may not know, and I wrote about this for my article for Front Page and for the Daily, I think it's in the Daily Caller article. Check it out. Check out the articles. I think they're very good. I want you to go to those websites. There's a lot of good stuff there, capsweb.org and these other publications. Macy's, one of the many companies that says, we're not going to do business with Donald Trump anymore. You know, the whole business with the neckties and all the silly stuff going on. Here's the funny story. I want you to remember this. Bear this in mind the next time you think about going to Macy's. You may not want to go there. You might really not want to go to Macy's, and I'll tell you why. Macy's went after Trump. Oh, this is terrible. How could you say those things? The Daily News reported a year ago, I believe it was August of last year, 2014, that the Daily News had to settle because they had treated black customers improperly. They had profiled. They had really done some pretty nasty stuff because these were black customers. So somehow their sensibilities weren't offended when they were black customers. But if you were an illegal alien, I guess it becomes a whole different equation. The hypocrisy is sickening. The same company that went nuts with Donald Trump themselves were guilty, apparently, of discriminating against blacks because they agreed to the settlement, $650,000. That's not pocket change. Maybe it's not a ton of money for a big company like Macy's, but this wasn't a $10,000 fine where you say, oh, they just wrote it off. It's a parking ticket. No, it's roughly two-thirds of $1 million. Why? So how in the world does that happen, and then they go after Trump? You see, everybody is on the same page except Donald Trump. The Republicans, the Democrats, the banks, the businesses. We need the foreign workers. We need the foreign students. We need the foreign tourists. They are intentionally destroying America's middle class. And then you hear the lies, and the American people really need to learn how to ask questions. See, I don't think anybody should be able to get a diploma or a college degree without spending at least one full year on the debating team, because most people don't know how to ask questions. They really don't. You have politicians saying, wage equality, you know, and you're hearing this all the time. O'Malley, by the way, and I wrote about Martin O'Malley, who said that he still favors sanctuary cities. Don't confuse this guy with the facts. Collateral damage, I guess. Now, he won't say collateral damage, but someone should really ask O'Malley, so how do you stand on collateral damage? Right? Where do you stand on collateral damage of American lives? I mean, this is so astonishing. But everybody is jumping on this bandwagon, and now they're saying, well, we need wage equality. And Bernie Sanders talked about wage equality. And, you know, when they talk about wage equality, hold on to your pocketbook, hold on to your wallet, because what they'll always talk about are the mega wealthy. Hillary's done this incessantly. The billionaires and the gazillionaires and the trillionaires, boy, they got all that money, and I want wage equality. And everybody goes, yay! And how does she prove that she wants wage equality, boys and girls? Hillary Clinton then talks about the $10.10 an hour wage. $15 an hour, perhaps, for the fast food worker. I don't think she's come out for that. But she always links this to the billionaires, the gazillionaires, and wage inequality. And if you look at what Alan Greenspan had to say when he testified for Chuck Schumer back on April 30th, 2009, he referred to American skilled workers, and you should know that under our immigration laws, a skilled worker generally is somebody with a college education or more. Computer programmers, scientists, the STEM workers. And he said that we've made a privileged elite out of America's skilled workers. Why? How did that happen, you might ask? Well, they became the privileged elite because they're not being subjected to foreign competition, so they're getting wages that are unreasonably high. And if we could bring in more foreign workers and apply pressure, supply and demand kicks in. See, they understand supply and demand. We can get rid of that wage premium, or at least cut the wage premium. I mean, it's money they didn't need anyway. It's a premium. See, they won't say, we're going to lower your salary. We're going to get rid of part of your wage premium. Oh, I didn't need it anyway. Thanks. And then he said we could greatly reduce wage inequality between Americans with skills and Americans with lesser skills. So what is he saying? By opening the doors to as many foreign workers as possible, we could reduce the wages of middle-class, high-skilled, highly educated Americans so the gap between those people with PhDs and the people that maybe got an associate's degree or a high school diploma, by comparison, they're not doing so bad anymore because we've knocked the hell out of the middle-class wage. And it's working, isn't it? Not for us, but it's working for them. Because wages keep declining. And everyone says, gee, I wonder why. And then you have these talking heads on TV, and you can pick the network you want to talk about. I really don't care. And they all say the same thing. If they pass comprehensive reform, the economy would take off. Okay. Do you want me to tell you how the economy would take off if they pass comprehensive reform? It's very simple. If you pass comprehensive reform, the economy will take off and fly away, and you'll never see it again. But that's not what you're hearing. You're hearing all these people, to the man and woman, there's one guy that says this all the time, to the man and woman, all these CEOs keep saying the same thing, we don't have enough high-tech workers, we've got jobs that are begging, and we just can't fill the jobs. If we could bring in more of those workers, boy, oh boy, we could create gazillions of jobs for Americans. Listen, the only jobs that they're going to create for Americans are plastic surgeons because they need rhinoplasty. Their damn noses are growing. Silicon Valley, about 6 months ago, laid off 20,000 people. Disney laid off 500. Southern California Edison Power Company laid off hundreds of workers and replaced them with people from India. If you have a shortage of workers, you don't fire them. And Disney, God knows, I'm sure they're not going to tell you that these workers were bad. They must have been pretty good because one of the conditions for their severance package was they had to train their replacement. If they were incompetent, I don't think you'd want them going anywhere near their replacement. Do you understand what is happening here? This girl was killed, and she paid the price for cheap labor. She paid the price to satisfy the political objectives of those people looking for the campaign contributions that are nothing more than bribes. And you see, it's not only that they didn't honor the detainer, that piece of paper that ICE sent them that said, don't let this guy go, let us know so we can take custody. It even happened before then. Because when the guy returned to the United States, illegal aliens, criminals, are risk-averse. Why do you think you hear stories about five guys jumping an 80-year-old man? Do you think these are brave people? They're cowards. Most criminals are cowards. They are opportunistic. I'll tell you funny stories. We had a case where we went to execute a criminal warrant on a guy, a drug dealer from Latin America, and this guy had left his door open at night. I guess he was as high as a kite. A lot of these drug dealers ultimately start using their own product till their brain starts burning out. And we had a warrant which would have allowed us to break the door in anyway, and we go to the door, and the door, we push it, and the door opens up. So we went in, and the guy's asleep. He's got his blanket up to his chin. Our concern is a lot of these guys will sleep with a shotgun under the blanket or a rifle or a handgun because they know that their competitors aren't just going to put them out of business by underpricing them. They'll kill them. These guys kill each other. There's a war raging out there. You know, the drug trade is where the violence is coming from, folks. So we woke him up with a flashlight in his face, and we all had our guns drawn because we were concerned that he would try to shoot at one of us. And the guy voided all over. I mean, everything came out of every which end. I'll spare you the gory details, but we heard the water running as he, you know, messed himself up. We literally had to grab him and throw him into a shower and hose him down. I didn't want to sit next to that smell all day. And he kept complaining that we had scared him. Poor baby. The guy was implicated in a bunch of homicides, and each time he was one of a group, a crew, if you will, a crew, like a rowing crew. This was a killing crew. I mean, it's outrageous. These aren't brave people. So they know they've got to keep a low profile. They know how to hide. They know what they've got to do to stay under the radar. As one of my old-time mentors said to me, when a cop is chasing a bad guy, the cop is running for a paycheck, the bad guy's running for his life. If you're an illegal alien and you're involved in crime, where are you more likely to live? In a town where the police work hand in glove with immigration, or a town that says, we're never going to tell the government you're here? Where do you think you're going to go if you're a criminal? Sanchez certainly went to San Francisco in large measure because of that. If it wasn't for that magnet, pardon me, that drew him, literally drew him to San Francisco, he probably wouldn't have been there that terrible night. It's not just the one thing that happened. It was a whole chain of events. And if you look at all the deaths each year, the drunk drivers who shouldn't be here, driving without a license, and then the open borders crowd say, well, it's not fair, and they're going to drive anyway. What message is that? You're a political leader, and you go around saying they're going to drive anyway? Why don't you try driving a car without a license and see where it gets you? They're going to drive anyway. What message is that? Oh, in America, if you are an illegal alien, you must be part of the endangered species, so we will provide you with sanctuary. It turns everything on its ear, folks. We are shielding the bad guys. And who are we leaving vulnerable? The good guys. Is that the way the movie plots normally work? I mean, I want to know what drugs these politicians are on besides the elixir of cash, the elixir of corruption. And why do you think they're panicking over Donald Trump? Because suddenly Trump is shining the bright light of truth on these deceptive, lying SOBs. And they don't like it. Too damn bad. Look, we have got to keep the pressure on. The media is going to try to make this story go away in a couple of weeks. Something else will happen. There'll be an accident. There'll be a something. There'll be a tsunami. Some bird will fall out of the sky. Some starlet will show up with no clothes on. Something crazy will happen, and that'll be the new story. Don't let them take the immigration issue off the table. Don't let them get away with it. Immigration is not a single issue. It's a singular issue, and it is behind so many of the issues. And this isn't xenophobia. And I'm not talking about scapegoating legal immigrants. What I'm talking about is tightening up on the enforcement of our laws so that they work, because those laws are designed to protect us. And when we're told we need a new law, look, we work with D'Amato to get that 20-year felony for reentry. What's missing? The manpower and the commitment, the agents. I shouldn't say manpower. There's a lot of women out there who are federal agents, and they won't be happy with me. We lack the resources. We lack the agents. We lack the jail space. We lack the immigration judges. That's what's missing. This isn't about needing yet another law. Every time something happens, let's write another law. No, we don't need another law. Write the funding bill. Write the check. Sign the check. Give us the money. Force the administration to do what it should have been doing all along. We've suffered enough death in this country because this administration won't do what's necessary. That's the issue. That's the issue. It is the failures of our government to protect us that is the issue. 9/11 was a failure of the government to learn the lessons that the 93 terror attacks should have taught us. I testified at a hearing 4.5 years after those 93 attacks, which if you look at the calendar also works out to 4.5 years before 9/11. But of course, as Hillary would say, what difference does it make? And if it seems like I'm ragging on Hillary tonight, I am. Because I can't get those words out of my head when she turned around and complained that there are people who don't want to give citizenship, a pathway to citizenship for the immigrants. That's not what we're talking about. I just want you to think of the analogy. Hillary is saying that when you're burglarized, it's only fair to give the burglar a key to the front door of your house. If that makes sense to you, get help quickly before you hurt yourself. We're in a very bad situation. Super bad situation. And there's very few politicians who are on our side. And I don't care if they claim to be conservatives. I don't care if they claim to be liberals. Those terms are meaningless. I want a politician who puts American lives first, who put American jobs for American citizens first. And here's something for you to think about. When Ted Cruz went to South Carolina and jumped up and down and said how he was going to bring in thousands upon thousands of the best and the brightest from around the world. This is a guy who believes in American exceptionalism. You know, that's the conservative war cry, American exceptionalism. Well, folks, if Americans are exceptional, you don't bring sand to the beach. You don't need to bring anybody here. They're here. But yet the audience gets caught up in the stampede of emotion, and they're cheering Ted Cruz on. Cruz says, we're going to bring the best and brightest, and they're going, yay! And what he's saying is, we're going to displace you. We're going to bring people in to take your job away from you, theft of a job. I've said this before. I've said it in my writing. I'll say it again tonight. This is the equivalent of Colonel Sanders standing in a barnyard telling a bunch of chickens to be excited and give him a round of applause because he found a new recipe for fried chicken. This is nuts. My suggestion, please go to these town hall meetings when these politicians show up. And when they start spewing their nonsense, and when someone stands up and says, we're going to bring in the best and brightest, I want you to stand up and just say two words and make sure the cameras hear it. And, you know, the news media probably won't report on this. So you have your smartphone, videotape it on your smartphone, okay? Make a record of it and then upload it to YouTube. When a politician says, we're going to bring in the best and brightest so America can lead, to me, America isn't mountains, cities, and streams and parks. America is its people. Kind of like that song Sinatra sings, the town I live in, or the house, it's the house I live in, America is its people. So when a politician promises to bring in more foreign workers, you need to stand up and say two words, citizens first. Citizens first. Maybe even hold up a little sign with a flag that says, U.S. citizens first. You see, that's the key. Let's put Americans first for a change. Let's put Americans first. Let's look at what happened in San Francisco to this poor woman and her family and do what we can to stop the carnage. It's going on each and every day, and it has to stop. And believe me, the politicians aren't going to do a damn thing to stop it. They want sound bites, and they want campaign contributions, and they don't care. After 9/11, if they couldn't get their heads wrapped around what happened and they're allowing business as usual, they don't care. The 9/11 Commission said you have to enforce the immigration laws. You have to tighten up on the visa process. We expand the visa waiver program, and we're doing nothing to protect us. We're doing nothing to enforce the immigration laws. And what are we saying, right? We have a problem. People are dying. They don't care. We want sanctuary cities. A vote for a sanctuary city is a vote against America, a vote against Americans. people don't have the inherent right to walk into America and take control of a situation. It's kind of like an invading army at this point, folks. And when you have people saying, I stand with the sanctuary cities, what are they saying? We don't know who these people are. That's why they snuck in. And when you say, well, if they don't have a serious criminal history, Mohammed Atta did not have a serious criminal history, the ringleader of 9/11. In fact, as I remember this, he was stopped by police for speeding. He's here illegally. They don't call immigration. He goes on his merry way because there was nothing in his background to show that he was a threat. But he was violating his immigration laws. Enforce the immigration laws. That's how sleepers operate. And that's why they're so reluctant to say anything about people like Faisal Shahzad and say, oh, the guy was a sleeper. Yeah, homegrown sleeper. How many of those terms have we heard? It's a contradiction in terms. A sleeper is a foreign national who enters our country and then hides in plain sight. They don't get arrested. They don't get into fights. They don't do drugs. They don't get drunk. They're very quiet. They're very polite. They smile at everybody. And they're probably thinking to themselves, I'm going to get you, and I'm going to get you, and I'm going to get you, and I'm going to get you. But they smile. And people are stupid. Oh, he smiled at me. How could he be such a bad guy? He petted my dog. He waved at my son. We used to hear this with the Nazi war criminal scum. Is he really a guy that was a guard in a death camp? He mowed his lawn and trimmed his flowers. What do you think we're going to do, call out the crabgrass police? This is as dopey and naive as it gets. Allow the lies to continue. Please, folks, educate yourself. Please go to my website, michaelcutler.net. Go to capsweb.org. Go to Front Page Magazine. Go to The Social Contract. Today, check out The Daily Caller. Look at what's there. Look at the information. And understand that when people like Hillary can say that these people don't want immigrants to get citizenship, it's in the law. We don't need to do anything. This is purely up to the alien to become a citizen. They fill out the application if they want to. They have every lawful right to do it. And that's the end of the problem. This is a game of deception that she is playing, and she needs to be called on it. When Martin O'Malley can talk about how he still favors sanctuary cities, even as this young woman was being buried. If Ted Cruz can talk about bringing in 500% more H-1B visas, and Rand Paul can talk about an unlimited number. He said the reason he voted against comprehensive reform in the Senate was it limited how many foreign workers. The corporations, according to Paul, should be able to bring in as many as they want from anywhere at all. Doesn't matter. Let them come. Yes, this is what he believes in. Lots of luck. Our immigration laws used to be enforced by the Labor Department to protect the livelihoods of Americans. That's how we built the middle class. This is how we dismantle the middle class. We're going the wrong way on a one-way street, and you will find precious few politicians standing up to this nonsense. Precious few. We have got to get our voices heard, folks. That's why I do the program. That's why I'm running around like a crazy man. I want this to stop. I want this to stop. You know, maybe we should have buttons made up that say American Lives Matter. I know there was the push to say Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. American lives matter. And these politicians don't seem to distinguish American lives from I don't know what. You know, you want to jump up and ask them, you know, the old joke, you know, what are we, chopped liver? Do you not care about us? And you know what the answer is? They don't. They don't. They only care about the people who write the fat checks. I know there are people out there that feel very strongly about this notion that people should be able to give as much of a campaign contribution as they want, the Citizens United business. And here's the thing for you to think about with Citizens United. Citizens United says, really, when you think about it, that whoever has the biggest checkbook has the loudest voice. That's not the way this country was built. Because politicians will bend in the direction of the people writing the biggest check. That's what this is. I mean, we're at the point where we need an official auctioneer for the United States. Maybe they could borrow the guy from the Meekum Auto Auction. What are my bid for America's freedom? What are my bid for the future of our children? Why do you think it is that American kids now have a reduced expectation of success as compared with what their parents achieved? This hasn't happened this way in I don't know how many decades. We're going the wrong way. And rather than a minor issue, immigration is the issue. If you can't control who's coming into your country and who is in your country, then you may as well disband the military. And I know that Mr. Obama is trying to do that also. He thinks that his pen is a magic wand and nobody has stopped him. We live in a very perilous era. And rather than being concerned about dancing with the stars and who's going to win the World Series, folks, you really got to pay attention. I would argue that you cannot be a good parent if you're not involved with politics, because this is about the future of our children and their children. And there will be no do-overs. There will be no do-overs. We are at a tipping point. We are at a crossroad. And we better get this together. And all I'm telling you is, and I'm not endorsing Donald Trump. People ask me, I'm not endorsing anybody at this point. I don't know where he stands on bringing in high-tech workers or a whole host of issues. But I have got to tell you that what he did this week was refreshing. It was a wonderful thing to see. An adult acting like an adult. What a remarkable set of circumstances. To stand up to the criticism and say to the people, this is where I stand. How many politicians have we listened to that could speak for an hour and when they get done you don't know what they stand for or who they are? We need clarity of mission. We need leaders who know where they want to go, who articulate where they want to go, and don't mince words about it. We need leadership that puts American citizens first in their own country. Wouldn't that be nice? And I wouldn't care if that politician came from the Hopping Kangaroo Party. This week has everybody fired up. I hope it has you fired up. I hope it has you fired up enough that you go to those websites, michaelcutler.net, capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine, Progressives for Immigration Reform, The Daily Caller, The Social Contract, when my article comes out in another couple of weeks, and forward it. Forward it to as many people as you can. Ask them to do the same thing. I call it my bucket brigade of truth. The elections are coming. We have an administration out of control. The states are suing the federal government for failure to do its job. But at the end of the day, we need to look at immigration as a system. We need to understand just how critical it is. And we need to apply the pressure on these politicians so that they understand that we're not as stupid as they want us to be, and they're not going to get away with this foolishness anymore. And that's the purpose of this program, folks. Seize the opportunity. Seize the moment. Make certain that we turn this country around for our sake, for our children's sake, for their children's sake. You know, I always like to end my programs by reminding people that democracy is not a spectator sport. Please take that to heart, and please do remember that American lives count. I look forward to seeing you again next time, next week, right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. Have a great week, everybody. Stay safe, and see you then. So long.